The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, we've made it back final hour of the show, and let's get back to the calls here. And Brian is in Los Angeles. So hello, Brian.
Paul, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Very good. I slept so well last night. My Wolverines beat Tennessee. But, you know, I mean, it's not about just going to the Sweet 16. I just love beating Tennessee. I just love Tennessee losing. And I hope Tennessee fan hears that. I don't think anybody likes Tennessee. Does anybody in the South like Tennessee, the Volunteers, all the SEC teams?
Well, a few people do. Explain to this native Tennessean here what makes beating Tennessee so special.
I don't know. Michigan is arrogant. I know this. Well, I'm not from Michigan. I'm a California boy. Michigan's very arrogant, but Tennessee is right at the same level. And I'm just happy to beat them. It's just, you know, Michigan can't compete with the SEC in football. We know this. But it's sweet. It's just very sweet. And also, lastly, no? What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I again, you're probably asking the wrong guy, but I'm happy you're happy. You got a coach who I think is pretty fortunate to be coaching right now. And he has made the most out of it.
He is a good coach.
He's a great coach. I'm very impressed with Juwan Howard, and I think – whatever was said about him 3 weeks ago has been scrubbed away with the weekend that he just had in Indianapolis.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be surprised if they can win the next weekend. But also, lastly, Paul, just wanted to say, as a neutral fan of Georgia and Bama, all this talk going back and forth, Georgia, they did it 1 year. I mean, before last year, before the Braves and the Georgia Bulldogs won their championships respectively, the whole state of Georgia is just known for chokers. The 90s Braves, they won one championship in 95. It was a year after the strike. The Falcons, of course, down 28-3. It's a state of losers. And, you know, I'm happy they won the championship. I knew they would. And let's just leave it at that. Bama's the king, and Georgia's got to do it a few times. And it's simple as that. Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Wow. I got to drop some bombs, didn't he? Augie is in New Orleans, and you are on the air. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. I thought I broke Joe's brain on Friday, but he seems to be able to at least do the rudimentary functions of a human. He can talk, and I don't know if he was walking, but at least he's still alive. So, and good for guys in the booth, because they caught his major violation in time, and it didn't hit the airwaves. So we didn't have to suspend him, and we can enjoy his commentary.
Yeah,
that was a great move on the guy's booth.
That didn't even come up tonight. I forgot all about it.
They need to get credit for hitting the button, because when you watch the your show, you go silent for a while, and people probably wondered, what was that about? But
speaking of hitting the button, I don't know if I've ever told this story. There was a guy that used to call the radio show back in Birmingham. And he had the same thing. He always called under false pretense. And at the very end of the call, he would slip in some allegation that some local newscaster was doing something else to a local newscaster. And he used the obscenity. Something that you just can't allow. And he probably called and did this, you know, once or twice a week for 3 months, and we would all sit there and laugh, and then the guy would have his hand on the button, and one time he hit the button and it didn't work.
Oh, my. Well, you guys caught it in time. Save Joe. I guess save yourself a fine. But Paul, you know that guy Foghorn that called in about Vanderbilt?
Yes.
He was saying that a lawyer told him about Vanderbilt wanting to move to the ACC, right?
Right.
So that's hearsay, so that's not admissible. But coming from a lawyer, I heard this
Now, Augie, hold on a second. Who was it that said you're not a lawyer?
I think it was Jeff. I think it was a Legend. I think it was Joe. Yeah. And how could Joe and Legend judge a lawyer when obviously theirs wasn't too successful because they both have degrees from the Alabama Department of Corrections? They may not have a degree from the University of Alabama, but they do have a degree from a state institution. So
you know what my mom always told me, Augie, when I was growing up, the most important thing you need to get, son, is a degree. It doesn't matter where it's from, does it?
Well, they got it, but I heard it, Paul, directly, that Ole Miss is actually trying to move to the Sun Belt Conference. They figure that way they can get an automatic bid when the 12 teams get into the playoffs. But, Paul, I got a question for you. You're the expert. You can answer this. What foods are popular at a bar mitzvah? Can you name some?
Well, now, my bar mitzvah was, I think, dairy, so it depends. But usually at a bar mitzvah, you're going to get corned beef, rye bread, matzo balls, chopped liver.
I mean, there's not a dish with a name that I can look up.
No,
I don't want to Google bar mitzvah food.
Bar mitzvah food is like any other food that Jews eat a large gathering.
All right. I was looking for some good inside info, so
remember, a bar mitzvah is in the morning, so you're serving a lunch. So it's normally cold cuts.
Okay. All right.
Turkey,
I was looking for
pastrami,
something like
roast beef, corned beef.
Sounds like making a sandwich.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be something like some kind of, chicken parmesan or something like that.
No. You might have You might have some canisius. Hey, do me a favor. Walk into a delicatessen in Brooklyn, and that's your bar mitzvah lunch, okay?
Hey, I need to call that guy Frank. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Walk into a bar in Madison, Mississippi, and you'll probably run into a friend of Squirrels.
I would hope so. Did you say you had your bar mitzvah at a dairy?
Well, no.
Or it had a dairy theme.
I don't remember. It's been a few years ago, but I think it had a dairy theme, or that could have been a wedding. I don't really remember any longer.
Okay. Well, I know
it had free whiskey. I'll tell you that.
No, there ain't nothing wrong with free whiskey. I hate to look backwards in the show, but I wanted to talk about a couple of matchups in the caller bracket last week, if I could.
Oh, sure.
But first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who took the time to vote for me, and really appreciate it. Homer had me nervous. He's one of my top five callers.
You are now up against Jeff in Columbus, Ohio.
Jeff from Columbus. That was my second question. I'll just go ahead and ask you that one first. When I last checked last week, Cat Daddy had a pretty comfortable lead, but yet I found out that Jeff was the winner. Was there like some votes that came in?
The absentee ballots, which are a collection of who we want to win the contest.
Okay.
That's Randy behind the camera. Yeah. That's Jamari, Brams, and Mark Kubiak. Yeah.
That's funny. And that's not the first, election that's been manipulated in this country.
No,
it won't be the last either. Yeah, I heard that. Well, like I said, I just hope all my SEC brothers and sisters will rally around when the time comes up for me and Jeff to go against each other. But and I was happy to see Miss Pat lose to Miss Faye. I'm just not a fan of Pat. And she just seems so catty to me. She seems like the sophomore girl in high school who hangs out in the lobby wanting to gossip between classes about what the senior girls are doing. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I blocked her on Twitter.
To find out which senior girls to check out.
And I blocked her on Twitter. She was whining about me blocking her on Twitter. Well, she came on there and asked me to unblock somebody. So I said, sure. So I unblocked that person, and then I turned around and blocked her for getting up in my business.
Ooh.
And that's why she got blocked by me. But, again, great show. Appreciate you taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you very much. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home and block somebody on Twitter tonight, Randy.
Done that before.
I have never done that, but there could be a first. Who will be the first person I block? We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A Hall of Famer is coming up next. Legendary coach Nolan Richardson.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. And we have not had this next guest on in some time, but the last time it was one of my favorite interviews of the year. The legendary Hall of Fame coach, Nolan Richardson, of course, who took Arkansas to a national championship and then right back to the championship game the following year. Coach, it's wonderful to hear from you, and we certainly hope everything is going well in your life. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you? And I hope everything is going good in your life also.
Well, we are doing great. And I know this is one of your favorite times of the year. We were talking about the SEC having a rough weekend in the tournament. And I'm curious about something from you, because you know, you can have a great season and then it all goes up in smoke. And it almost doesn't seem fair, does it?
I tell you, you're absolutely right. You can have a tremendous season, and all it takes is one bump in the road, and you're not having such a great season.
Explain to us who have never coached at the elite level, and you know all about Elite Eights and Final Four appearances and national championships. What happens when you get to that tournament, and all of a sudden, what worked maybe in the SEC tournament or at Auburn on a Saturday afternoon stops working?
You know, Paul, you know, I've been asked that question on several occasions. I really honestly believe that winning championships are won in the preseasons, regular season. I mean, when you get to that part of this season, which is your third season, you know, there's nothing to fix. I mean, if it's broke, it's going to stay broken. So if you go in there trying to fix things as you go, it wouldn't work for me. I just think that you the players' least amount of worries is better off than being worried about whether or not you're going to win or lose. I think the most important thing is how hard you're going to play, and if that takes place and you've done the things to get you where you are, you should have a chance to be successful.
There's been some – everyone has an opinion that maybe the SEC defenses didn't travel. That was never a big concern of yours. Your defense traveled quite well. But in terms of the coaching, and you know, we sit here on a program like this, and we were pop psychologists about what John Calipari did right, or in your day what you did, or Rick Pitino or Dale Brown or somebody else. But how important is coaching in the tournament?
As I said before, I think it's important, but I think to me that if I don't have my team prepared, and preparation starts in preseason, preparation for conditioning, preparation for what kind of we're going to run, what kind of man we're going to run, a defense we're going to run, and how we're going to run it, and it goes from game to game to game on into the next season, the tournament season, into the NCAA season. So it's repetition. I honestly believe we're creatures of habits. And if once you take something new to someone that's been doing something so long, it just doesn't work. I get a kick out of these guys running around getting films the day of the game or day before the game to be breaking down. Broken down for what? What are you going to put in there? If that's the case, every team should win because they all got tapes.
No, you're so right. I'm particularly interested in it because you faced all the great coaches. We're now celebrating. It's going to happen sometime in the next two weekends. Mike Krzyzewski's farewell at 75. You've seen every great coach of the last 50 or 60 years. When you face one of those, the Tom Izzos or the Krzyzewskis, or in your day, the Dean Smiths, is it different? And I know you alluded to it, but we love to, as commentators, love to talk about those great tournament coaches. But does coaching, does it really factor in based on what you said a minute ago about the preparation?
It really do. You know, you just named some of the greatest of great basketball coaches. I mean, you know, in the day when you knew Bob Knight, you got to play him. You need Dean Smith, and of course, in John Wooden's day, you had all these guys that the fans, the players, and everybody knew. Today, you know, they coming and going so quick, and players are changing. You know, with the new rules. I mean, I don't know. To me, semi-pro basketball is taking place now.
As you mentioned, those coaches, you know, Wooden. You know, a lot of people are trying to put Krzyzewski as the greatest coach of all time. It's hard for me to buy that, having been a young person in the Wooden era. But in terms of your own career, what coaches did you face that probably meant the most to you that you were coaching against that set individual?
Well, you know, you got in my era, you got Krzyzewski, Dean Smith. I mean, you know, he was the inventor of games. You really wanted to play him. I think even the guy that was up here was a guy I kept an eye on, which was Eddie Sutton.
Right.
Very, very super basketball coach, you know. But like I say, it can go on and on and on and on. John Thompson, John Cheney. Those guys, I mean, you know, I'm playing against them. I'm saying, holy Michael, I didn't have a clue that we'd need to be on the same floor with them. But they all those coaches were some had the name and the statue and the record to prove that they were good at what they do. And that's coach basketball.
We're talking to Coach Nolan Richardson. Coach, I know that you've been close to a lot of coaches, and coaches occasionally will ask your advice, but of today's coaches, I realize that's a big question there. What do you see, and how much has it changed with a lot of with so much movement with players that you really can't develop because they're gone so quickly? What is the key to coaching right now?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Get you some good players.
Pretty good answer.
You go out and find some good players. I tell you, a guy that I think is really underrated, and he was, I would say, during my time and the new time, is Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah.
Kelvin's teams play defense as hard as anyone. You know, Eric Musselman is taken into an area where he's able to take his team back-to-back to Sweet 16. You know, he's making a name and a reputation for himself. So, you know, there are some of those guys that are making names for themselves.
Did you know, I'm assuming you did, Coach Musselman's father, who was a coach at Minnesota and then coach in the NBA quite often, quite a few places?
I tell you, it's very odd and very strange. My assistant coach was named Rob Spivey when I was at Tulsa University. And he played for Musselman's father. And Musselman was like about 4 years old. I remember when he got the job, Rob called me and told me, "Cause I played for his dad." I said, "Is that the Musselman?" He said, "Yes, that's the one. That's who I played for." So it was really weird that a guy has taken a job that he played, one of my favorite guys as a coach, was on my staff, played for his dad.
I remember Rob Spivey. He was an outstanding coach. Talking to Coach Nolan Richardson, Coach, you got it's still discussed today. Every time we see a defense, the 40 minutes of hell. Is that something that? How did that happen? Or was that just your style?
You know, I came from a school, Paul, in high school where I had Hispanic kids that were not very big, not very tall, and the only way we could. Anyway, we could get a rebound was a question mark most of the time. But we certainly gave you tremendous traps in the hell of trying for you to not be able to run your offense. And I think I kept that more in mind about how I want to play. That's why not very usually did I have really big, tall 7-footers on my team. But every now and then I had a sprinkle of one or two in there.
I know
40 minutes of hell was developed through my workout. That's, if you could go 40 minutes of the workout that I gave you in the preseason, you had gone through hell. And that's how I thought of the game. I said, when we hit that floor, it better be, if you can give me, each one of you, we've got enough guys to get 40 minutes added up. And so that's where it all came about, 40 minutes of hell.
So, Coach, if you go back to your first practices, is that when it was most difficult? I mean, is that when you wanted to obviously coaching never stops, but there are times when you can't be around the players. So when did you implement that on a yearly basis for new players?
We ran our programs without having the coaches to be out there. But I really took to heart a saying that Vince Lombardi once said, fatigue will make cowards of us all. I honestly believe that. And I played for a coach who I didn't mention was Don Haskins, the Bear.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I went to school down there, and he won a national championship after his third, going into his fourth year, I believe. He became a national championship coach. He worked us, and it became a discipline, getting us molded to not only have our minds trained to play the game, but our bodies as well. And so that has been the thing that I wanted to do more than anything. Make it simple, get your body in the best of shape, and get your mind, which is your brain, functioning the proper way in the game.
Coach, I know how active you were in standing up for young people the aforementioned John Thompson at a time when a lot of people were not standing up for those less fortunate. I'm particularly interested, as we close this conversation, your thoughts on what is happening today in college athletics. Since July 1st, of course, it's now legal for players to profit from their name, image, and likeness. So what are your thoughts on where we are right now?
But I tell you, boy, some of the guys who got penalized for what's legal today is an amazing maze. I'm saying, damn, I got fired for nothing. Now, compared to what is offered today, and they talk about the fact of how much money they make, I said, I think during some of those days, they already had a salary cap. Some guys wouldn't go to the pros, maybe because hell, they would taking a cut in pay.
You don't mind naming those coaches in schools, do you, right now?
Hey, I tell you what, man, they're all over the place if you're not careful. But the way the rules are changing, it won't matter. It's free for all. It's a free for all after a while.
Yeah, you see a couple of coaches getting fired for NCAA violations, and you're thinking, man, they should have waited.
I don't know. The game has gone a different direction. The game itself is still the same. I mean, the kids are a little bit different. If you don't like your coach, leave tomorrow and you're eligible to play with another coach. You might be playing against the guy who just left your team. You know, it's just we'll have to adjust like anything else in life. Have to adjust.
Well, Coach, we always enjoy it. Thank you so much for making the time. And I know the audience loves hearing your perspective and your remembrance of college basketball, as well as what's happening today. Be well.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. One of the all-time greats. Nolan Richardson joining us as we head to the break, 30 minutes remaining here on a Monday afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
There were some comments earlier today by Squirrel. I think he referenced Pat from Georgia in a not too flattering fashion. And Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul. Well, you know, I wondered why Squirrel blocked me. I had assumed it was because I said something about vermin in the leafy nest. And now I found out that that must have come after he blocked me. But I continue to enjoy your show, even though these men call and trash me. I don't understand. Anyway, that's all I had to say, Paul.
Thank you, Pat. Cheerleader is next.
Hello, Paul. Good looking. How you doing?
Oh, cheerleader, my heart is fluttering hearing you say that.
Now, you know, there have been a lot of people that have called your show today, and they have just blatantly lied about things. But I'm not lying. I am not lying. And I might be the first caller that has sat through my facial while holding the phone for you to answer.
I've never had a facial. What happens during the procedure? Is it
I'm getting all kinds. I'm a member of this club.
Okay.
But they put hot steam on you. They saline on you. They lots of cleaner. They do this little thing on your face like a little vacuum cleaner that's microdermabrasion that gets
sure
all
that.
Your
I mean,
skin
problem,
and all that. I don't think men would want that.
I know men don't want to hear this, but, I mean, for a man, I wear too much makeup.
Yeah. Well, they do give you a cloth and a hairband and a washcloth to wash it all off before you
get in
there.
I never thought that would be there. One of the biggest issues that I would have is having to wear makeup 5 days a week.
I was sitting there and I was thinking, no, I don't think men need this. But what about a hot shave, those old-timey shaves?
Oh, yeah.
At the barber shop with a blade and then put the hot cloth on you. That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. Now, listen, I know that everybody thinks that when their team loses, whether it's basketball, tiddlywinks, or whatever, that they've just lost their life. I kind of feel sorry for people like that. They just like that, like they've lost their life. And we don't, you know.
One day
we're going to
throw a question out about what's the most upset you've ever been with a loss? Because you're right. We tend to over, but that's what fandom is, and everyone knows what Fanatics is the precursor for. Hey, thank you very, very much. Will is in New York. Hey, Will.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
I got a question. So the Gonzaga and Razorback game, I got the Razorbacks favored in that game. Would you agree to that?
Well, the Razorbacks are right now about an 8-point underdog in that game. How do you have them favored?
Well, I mean, the first two games that Gonzaga played,
they played terribly.
Like the first half.
Yeah.
Like they played really terrible in the first half. Second half they did pick it up, and I do think that the Razorback defense will step up and. Hopefully they will win.
Arkansas survived two unusual teams that they probably are not that familiar playing. But I'm concerned about the game for the Razorbacks. I think Gonzaga, finally got that bulb going off when they were down 13 against Memphis. And I appreciate your optimism. Hopefully you're right. Let's check in. We'll go from New York to New York. Joe, how are you?
Paul, how are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, well, always a pleasure to be part of your show. And as you know, in my previous conversations with you, we've spoken about coaching hires at University of Florida. How do you feel about this hire with Todd Golden?
Well, Joe, I have very limited information about him, and what I hear is good, but that would be I would just be mouthing something that I heard or read somewhere else to give you beyond a cursory response.
You know, and getting to my point, SEC football obviously is the sport in the SEC. I think we all know that. And I think we try to say in the SEC, we're going to build up basketball somewhat. You know, Nolan Richardson, I loved his interview, by the way, and I thought he did a wonderful job at Arkansas. And he mentioned the name, Kelvin Sampson. And I'm watching all these coaching searches going on, you know, 4 or 5 teams in the SEC, jobs at big schools. Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
the thing about Kelvin Sampson is I think he got totally screwed in that NCAA situation. And, I don't know. I don't think Kelvin Sampson should do a thing other than stay where he is. And no one was right. His teams just to watch are it's like a work of art in progress. It's just, Final Four last year, this year, knocking on the door again. Thanks so much. We're up against a break here. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Breaking news late here on a Monday afternoon from the caller bracket. This first one, Jim from Tuscaloosa has squashed Miss Faye, so we will not be hearing much more from her on the caller tournament. Second round matchup, Augie has knocked off K-Dub. It is under review. There have been some allegations of malfeasance, which I can confirm, but we will let you know tomorrow if that holds up. It's very hard to overturn. Meanwhile, legend has scored one for the Crimson Tide. I am told, guys, that he obliterated Red Dog, beat him to a pulp. It was the SEC championship game all over again. And Larry from Shelby has escaped with a win over Andre. So this is what the bracket looks like. We've got Jim and Augie, and that's not going to be a friendly, as they say in the world of international soccer. Oh, the lawmaker versus the lawbreaker. Legend versus Larry. That probably won't be much of a contest either. Yes. Let us continue with Ricky, don't lose that number.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey, Ricky.
Well, I right, just go ahead and just give a trophy to legend. And but anyway, the March Madness has gone mad. A lot of upsets this weekend, and man, on the women's side as well. You know,
oh yeah, there was some monumental upsets on the women's side.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought it looked like for a minute that Jackson State was going to be LSU for a minute.
You're right.
It was getting kind of tight there, you know. But my theory is on that. Oh, by the way, I like that the interview with Coach Richardson.
Oh yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And my theory on it kind of matches some of the things he was saying about the portal. And I think in basketball, you know, versus football, you have fewer, you know, guys on or players on the team, and if you can get one or two guys from the portal or you can make a team better, you know, pretty quickly. And I think you've seen that all across the country, because just more people play basketball. I think it's just more developmental there with the AAU and you can just find good players everywhere in the small schools and you know, because you got a lot of good players who just, you know, not gonna make to the, you know, may not make the cut, you know, with the big schools or whatever, you know, but they can play a smaller school and still thrive, you know. I just kind of think that's what's kind of going on in women and men's basketball. I just think that, you know, the coaches are, you know, that I think they're more, they train better, and because they're spin off from other big time coaches. I think they just spread it out. I think it just doesn't got to that point.
Well, Ricky, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. K-Dub is up next.
My brother Bees, how you doing this lovely second day of spring?
K-Dub, we are doing great.
I'm doing all right, too. I just got in the car. I was just between me and you, I was placing a little bit on a little basketball. But but that's neither here nor there. And just as soon as I get in the car and turn the radio up on, I just hear your voice say, K-Dub has been defeated. I'm like, what did I do? How did I defeat it from where? Did someone beat me up?
You're part of the caller bracket, the Feinbaum caller bracket. You won your first round match, and then you're a 5 seed. You played the 3 seed, Augie, and you lost, just like Alabama.
Just like Alabama. Lord have mercy. What is this world coming to when K-Dub loses? But I tell you what, I know this is fantasy world, and we on whatever, you know, how this really goes. But just between me and you, none of these callers don't want any kind of smoke with me. I'm just letting you know, in real life.
Well, the only time I've ever seen, the only encounter you've ever had with a caller was with I-Man, right?
Well, that was going to be a physical confrontation. I'm talking about a verbal confrontation of any kind. But, you know, I mean, I don't smack around callers like I used to, but just let you know, callers out there, I do have mercy on you, and if you ever think about bringing smoke to me, you better think twice about that. So I just want to put it out there. Sometimes you just gotta let people know that you still who you are, and I'm telling you right now, if it really came down to it, and we really got on these airways and really want to have some kind of conversation, none of you don't want smoke with K-Dub, and believe that. Appreciate it, Bees. Have a good one, baby.
K-Dub, thank you. Wow. Al is up next in Birmingham. Hey, Al.
Paul, as a member of the original Feinbaum caller top 10 list.
You were.
I feel glad and comforted in knowing that this tradition continues. Although it's a little different now. Back then it wasn't a bracket. It was just a straight vote for your favorite caller, and it's always been an honor. It's not on my resume anymore, but it's always been an honor.
Yeah,
to have
you were definitely there among the early callers. I miss you. I mean, I always knew I could not wait for your call because for those who haven't followed you in a while, you always ended with a Springsteen lyric.
Well, I always took pride. I take pride in being on that list, and I always took pride in my call. Paul, as always, is a dream a lie if it don't come true, or is it something worse? Paul, have a good day.
The boss is still the boss. We are done. More on the caller bracket tomorrow. More on the NCAA tournament. Thank Nolan Richardson, John Talty, JB, and John Adams for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.